Again, and Brother Cross, just an excellent job staying within the constraints of the time also. Tonight I'll be talking about the descriptions of the tomb, and I went over and took a picture of the tomb, and this is it. No. this is a Herod era picture of one of the tombs there in Jerusalem in that area. If you go over there and you take a tour, they're going to show you a tomb like this. This is common in that era. The tomb that you see here is a grave. It's a sepulcher. It's where they place the bodies of those who have passed. And that's the idea behind the tomb. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, descriptions of that first, but then we're going to stray and go in a different total direction. So I want to tell you about that real quick. The tomb, again, like I say, was a place to hold the body until the soul would be reunited with it, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22. The tomb that was used for the body of Jesus belonged to one of the council, Joseph of Arimathea. It was located in a garden, John chapter 19 and verse 41. The tomb was outside the city walls. And John 19 and 20 would give us information about that. The tomb was new, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 60. Joseph had hewn this out, had it hewn out of limestone, probably the most common stone in that area, for his family, but that he used it for our Lord and Savior. He was a disciple secretly, as we learned earlier this week. It required, it was large enough for one to sit in, according to John chapter 20, or Mark chapter 16 and verse 5. It required one to stoop down to look inside, John chapter 20 verses 5 and 6. There was a great stone that was rolled away, and it was rolled in place to seal the tomb, but rolled away when our Lord was resurrected, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 60. The traditional site of the tomb, if you were to go there and go on a tour, they're going to tell you that it's marked by the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's the one they're going to tell you. This is the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. There was also a tomb found that's called the Garden Tomb around 1883. And so there has been discussion of both of those as being the actual tomb of our Lord. And we mentioned this early when we were talking about Joseph and the tomb. The place of the tomb is not important. The tomb that was actually used, because if they knew which one it was, it would be one that would be worshipped. It would become an idolatrous object in Christianity, like a lot of things have. And so that is not the most important. But what the tomb represents, to me, is the most important thing. And I want to talk about that for the time remaining tonight. When you think about the tomb represents a couple of different things. First thing to me, it represents completion. It represents Jesus' mission to come to this world and to save us. And so when we think about the tomb, we think about the completion of His mission. He was placed in the tomb. His body was placed in the tomb when His mission on earth as a physical, spiritual being ended, when His life was taken away from Him. You remember in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, how when His mother came and was looking for Him, He said, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus had a mission. He was about His Father's business from a very young age until His life was taken away from Him. He said, "I must work the work of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man works." John chapter 9 and verse 4. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And then, as the words were mentioned about the words around the cross, when Steve brought that to us Sunday, in John chapter 19 and verse 30, we have the last words, "It is finished." And at that time, His mission on this earth to prepare the way for us to be able to meet Him in the air one day and to be spend eternity with God in heaven, His mission was completed. His body was laid in that tomb. And so the tomb represents to me, firstly, the completion of a very, very big mission that he had. But secondly, the tomb represents creation. It represents creation, and that's kind of unique when you think about it. A tomb represents a Genesis, if you will. You remember in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in our text that we're going by, the first four verses. But in verse 22 it says, "For as Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Because of Jesus' death, the sin that came into the world through Adam was now overruled by the death of Christ. See, before that time, we were all had a penalty of death because of sin. But because of what Jesus had done and what the tomb represents, it's a new Genesis for each one of us. For those in the Old Testament that were faithful to God, all that was rolled forward into the cross. And when Jesus' body was laid in that tomb, and when he resurrected, all of that was completed, and a new beginning began. It begins with a new life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Some of you have over through your life or known someone who has had a severe illness. I mentioned, I think, Sunday, I had cancer a little over 18 months ago. I had my 18-month checkup. It was found because of a kidney stone. Never had a kidney stone in my life. All of my family has had kidney stones. But I ended up having renal cell carcinoma, one of the three most deadliest cancers that a body can have, pancreatic cancer, ovarian cancer, and renal cell carcinoma, because they go undetected until it's too late. Mine was found by a scan, and me and Vic were talking about it at lunch today. And my doctor said, he was Chinese, he goes, "Oh, you're very lucky." And I said, "No, we call that providence. I've never had a kidney stone, never had any sickness." All of us probably know someone who has had some kind of severe thing and have come through it. And I tell you what, my outlook on life, even though I feel like I have a great outlook on life, was changed because of that event. The things that I do now are more direct. I direct Georgia Bible Camp, and I'm around kids all during the summer, and I've been very fortunate and very blessed to do that position, and as I talk to them at night, we have been very fortunate because we've had quite a few baptisms out there, and I have, and I wrote this in a letter about the camp, I know I only have them for a few minutes, and I really want to get their attention, and I tell them about what life brings when you become a child of God, this new life. It is something that you can't explain unless you've experienced it. And there are so many sometimes that know what to do and just haven't done it yet. To be welcomed into that family that you know that everyone loves you and prays for you. I know when I was sick, I had so many people around the country that were messaging me on Facebook and telling me how much they were thinking about and praying for me. And as I was in that hospital, I thought, man, I have thousands of friends on Facebook, and all of them know what I'm going through, and all of them are praying for me, and how good that feels. That's one of the blessings that we have, the benefits we have, as we've talked about. We have freedom from the bondage of law. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. So we serve in newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter." So not only does the tomb represent to me a completion, but also a creation. And then finally, it represents a celebration. And this is probably one of the biggest things I think we, as seasoned members of the body, need to make sure we understand. When we think about the tomb, as we surround this table every first day of the week and we talk about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. See, there are a group of people, and you all know this when I mention this, that don't understand some of the language that we use. We have new people coming into our assemblies, and we talk about the Lord's Supper, especially children and young people. We say things, and they just don't know what we're talking about. So we have to explain that. It makes me think about what happened, what God told the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6. And when he told the tribes to pick up the stone as they crossed over, he said, "You take those stones." And he said, "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean?'" I think sometimes we just automatically assume that our new Christians and our children just understand about the death and the burial and the resurrection. And maybe we need to spend more time telling them what these stones mean. Because I just can't imagine them being flippant about the Lord's Supper when they understand what that empty tomb represents and what it means. It is a celebration. It's something that a lot of times we don't think about. Before I became a preacher, I didn't really like going to funerals. Not that I like to go to it now. But it's something that I understand it represents and what it represents about the finality of life. And especially when you're preaching a funeral for someone that's been faithful. Oh boy, I just think about that and I think they're looking down at us, if that's the case, and go, you guys, wait till you see this. The empty tomb represents a victory. I'd like to read the last few verses there of chapter 15 that we have been talking about. And then I'll close. I'll even give you some time, Steve. Verse 53, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The things that we do in serving God, especially when we're thinking about teaching others about what that tomb represents, it is so important that they understand the gravity of that.